Hello, Vedpreneurs, and welcome to episode 69 of the Vedpreneur podcast. I'm your host, Lee Rivero, and before we begin, I just want to say thank you for tuning in today. So we all know one aspect that separates the wedding industry from others is the extremely personal and emotional nature it can have. It can make you very vulnerable. Even though most weddings are awesome, in between, you get some rough clients. Today, we're discussing coping with difficult clients with Elle, a fellow Barbados wedding planner. She is certainly a well-rounded individual with an extensive list of accomplishments and talents. Her company offers wedding planning and design, as well as stationery, and she can also play the saxophone or be the wedding MC. So many hats, and I'm not even done yet. For the purposes of this conversation, it's important to note that she's an experienced marriage counselor alongside her husband. This is why I invited her to speak on this topic, because I realized that it's difficult to be real sometimes. But this is exactly the type of information you might want to know. This is your host, Lee Rivero, and welcome to the Wedpreneur Podcast. Join me and our guests each week as we discuss wedding business best practices, examine challenges facing our industry, and interview wedding industry experts and thought leaders who will share their strategies for taking your wedding business to the next level. Whether you're new in the industry or a seasoned pro, each episode is filled with valuable information aimed to help you build and grow the wedding business that you are dreaming about. I'm ready if you are, so let's get started. Welcome to the show, Elle. Before we dive right into the conversation, please introduce yourself to our listeners.
Hello, hello, hello. It's such a pleasure to be here. My name is Elle. Well, some call me Ellie, but I don't get offended with whatever my clients call me. Elle, Ellie, that's okay. Basically, I'm a wedding planner, decorator. I like to consider myself a one-stop shop for all bridal needs, accessories, custom items, signage, you name it. Anything wedding related, I do it.
Now we know who we're chatting with. Let's start with some context. What experience stands out in your mind when you hear the term bridezilla? Thanks to Reddit, this term is everywhere on my social media.
Well, I would say two things stand out to me. I know most persons might think negative when they hear the term bridezilla, but I see it in two ways. So I see kind of a positive side and a negative side. So I'll explain. The positive side is more so a bride that knows what she wants and she's been dreaming about this perfect day for her whole life. So because of that need for perfection, it kind of turns them into a bridezilla. So I would say they're intentions are good, but they're going about it the wrong way. So that's one side of the bridezilla. The next side is definitely the negative, where the person is definitely out of control. They're demanding, their expectations are unrealistic. They're literally stressing out every single one in the process. They kind of take the joy out of the process. So, you know, the family is upset, the vendors are upset, the planner is upset, everyone is upset because this person had unrealistic goals and dreams and they weren't willing to compromise. So it's just making the process really traumatic and, you know, a lot more negative than it needs to be.
Okay. So in terms of like clients you've had, not to call any names, but could you just share with us one specific wedding where you felt like you had to deal with the bridezilla?
Yes, definitely. I even just recently, I think I can pull together a couple ideas of having to deal with a bridezilla. So not to call names, I'll just say bridezilla M. So just so that I have a reference to go with. So in the beginning, I would say that this particular bride didn't present herself as a bridezilla. Definitely did not see the signs until very later in the process of the planning. So they approached me by referral. And when I met, you know, they seemed like very calm, very sweet, but I could still tell that they were very indecisive, even from the first meeting. Not sure why I didn't see that as a red flag, but they were very indecisive, even in the first meeting, asking me to, draw a full plan for them, full design, everything, stressing to me that they need to see things visually. And I wasn't even basically hired or booked yet. So I think that should have been the first red flag. But like I said, they came across very sweet. So I wasn't sure because we didn't necessarily start working and talking and dealing with each other as yet. The more we began to talk and deal when they hired me, they were very quick to want to sign the contract as well. They just wanted to like basically lock me in. And once I got locked in, then I would say that's when I began to see Brides M's true colors come out. They were very, very controlling. So, bringing clarity to the story, I was basically hired to wedding plan. Now, I've done a number of weddings. Like, this is by no means my first wedding. And being that I'm experienced in the area, I would know what it takes for a wedding planner to plan a wedding. But immediately, this person began to tie my hands, wanting to micromanage every aspect. And if it was a case where they had doubts, you could understand because then you could like inform your client and help work through their doubts. But it wasn't a case of doubts. This person was just controlling. I began to book different vendors for them, and one by one, each vendor began to complain to me to the point that I didn't even know what to do at some point because I kind of felt responsible for referring my vendors, and I felt like I put them in a situation to be abused or traumatized. Because the person, this person, and I'll just even explain how bad it was, they would be calling at 4 a.m. in the morning and just yelling at the vendors for no reasons, all because they were not trusting the professionals to do what they want. And an example of that might be something like, let's say, for example, the DJ, they're literally calling the DJ, asking the DJ if they have to rent mics, speakers, sound system, even though the DJ told them like 10 times they have all the equipment provided. So every day they would call me, asking me the same question over and over. They even went as far as to tell me they had trust issues. So it became very stressful very quickly. Even in the planning process of choosing colors, they changed their colors about 40 times. So I think this was kind of beyond Bridezilla, where this person wanted to micromanage every aspect of the wedding. And then you're like, well, if that's the case, why hire a planner? My job is basically to make your life easier, plan your dream wedding, make everything perfect for you, beautiful for you. But yet you still want to micromanage and you're not even like experiencing different terms to deal with different vendors, different persons. So it just became really problematic and I had to navigate between calming down vendors and trying to fix problems that the bride created unnecessarily.
So basically, a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde situation. The client's very skilled at hiding their Chinese parade. And, they come out later on in the process after you have already signed the contract. And I want to just say, as a reminder to everyone listening, you need to have an exit clause in your contract at all times. This is just to make sure that in the event the relationship becomes uncomfortable or untenable as a business relationship where you're providing someone with a very personal service, that you can work something out, find someone else to do it, just get out. I'm not saying that you shouldn't try your best to provide your best service, but there are some situations where it's not really worth the hassle. And I'll even add to that, as you were mentioning, that 4 a.m. calling, boundaries. Boundaries. People have no respect. Some people have no respect for wedding vendors. I mean, like, there's not an emergency. If you're a doctor or, something like that, I can understand why you might expect to have your phone ringing at 4 a.m. But I cannot for the life of me understand how other adults, who more often than not are employed themselves, they would never answer their phone at 4 a.m. From a customer.
Definitely not. Definitely.
But
That's.
calling them to ask them something like, do you prefer lemon yellow or bright yellow? You know what
Still
I
got
mean?
pink for napkin tissues. Yes.
So moving on, communication is key in the wedding planning industry. Could you provide some insights into how you effectively communicate with clients to manage their expectations and prevent misunderstandings or potential bridezilla moments from arising in the first place?
Yes, well, I think in the beginning, transparency is very important. It's key. Good communication. So right off the bat, especially if it's a new client, I communicate. I ask as many questions as I can. So I said the first tip would be get as much information as you can get. Find out what the client wants. Even if they say, well, I don't know what I want. Even when someone says that, by asking the right questions, you will know what they want. And even if, let's say, for example, they don't know what they want, a good clue is what they don't want. So a client may say, for example, they don't like glitter, right? Now, they don't know what they want. You ask them, do you want a garden wedding? Do you want a royal theme wedding? They don't know. But at least knowing what they don't like, what their dislikes are, can help you provide a great service and avoid potential conflicts. So if I have any client that say they don't know what they want, I always ask them to tell me what they don't like. And then I start building from there. So one tip I say is good communication, asking questions, gathering information. After that, another way to manage expectations would be to have realistic goals and realistic conversations. And by that, I mean, let's say, for example, with colors. Some brides come to me and they would want a specific color. Let's say, for example, they want bubblegum pink. I make sure I tell them, bring me a color swatch. I would definitely say don't only rely on the phone because computers, cell phones, all of those have different color schemes. So a color can look different on a technology service. So I usually ask them to bring me a life swatch so I can see. And then I'm very clear in explaining, hey, you may not get flowers in these colors, but is this next best option acceptable? So I present different options to them. I try to get as close to what they want, but also I find that presenting other options, plan B, plan A, plan C, it's a great way as well. And then usually clients discover something that they didn't even know that they liked or that they wanted. So, bringing ideas to them as well, that helps. And once we discuss and we go through expectations and what is realistic and what they can expect, then it's usually really easy to manage expectations after that because we're clear on where the goal is, where the vision is, and what they're going to get.
That is so excellent. Those are some great tips. I must say, full transparency, this is one of my weaker points when it comes to clients because I am a people pleaser and I always want to go out of my way to do things, sometimes less practical than others. And every single time I go out of my typical process I use with brides and try to accommodate someone that's just a little bit more picky, it always lands me in hot water. So, I'm so happy that you mentioned managing expectations because that's something I really, really struggle with. That's like the one thing that I'm not like, oh, I'm the best at that. I'm definitely not the best at that.
I would definitely say in the beginning, I was like that, where the client was always right. I just always wanted to please. I used to say, if you ask me to make a unicorn, if I don't know to get a unicorn made, I'm going to go and figure out how to get it made. Even though it would be unrealistic. Like, let's say I have to ship the horn from, I don't know, Dubai, Afghanistan. I'm literally online trying to figure out how can I ship this unicorn. So I had to realize that's not feasible because it's just not something you can sustain because it's not realistic. And then you end up kind of putting yourself in a bad position because you might overpromise in that aspect. And it wasn't that it wasn't your intention to deliver. It was definitely your intention to deliver. But you knew from the beginning it wasn't something that could have been done. But because of your heart and how much you just love people and you want people to be happy, you kind of try to do the impossible. Yeah. So I had to
Yeah.
learn to pull back on that a little bit.
Yes, that's what I was gonna say. All that happens after you do that are two things. One, The person is actually more likely to be ungrateful because, let's be real, more likely than not, they can't pay for that service if you didn't try to squeeze it in for them. Because, the more work you have to do, the higher the price on the item should be. And most times, the budget constraints are the factor that is stopping the person from getting what they want. So, with that in mind, we have to really think about what is going to happen when we do that. Nobody wins. You don't get paid for what you did. The person doesn't appreciate it because they didn't pay for it, they don't value it, and no one wins. So that's what I have to say about that aspect of things, because I have definitely struggled with people pleasing and managing expectations and trying to get blood from a stone, so to speak. You know what really would show you that too? When you have your own wedding and you realize, you have to pay for all these things that you want as well. And yes, you might get a couple gifts and stuff, but ultimately, when we as a wedding vendor or a supplier actually gives clients like an unsustainable discount or charge too low or unsustainable pricing, we actually end up paying for the person's wedding out of pocket. Now tell
Definitely.
me, where can I find someone to pay my bills for me, for the things I want? It's so entitled. That is what really rubs me the wrong way about bridezillas. I feel like they really forget that we are humans, and this is a personal service. It's not very easy. We have unrealistic expectations. And even though sometimes it can feel like we're a therapist, we're really not. And it's not really right for you to take up that burden of trying to be that person's therapist, wedding planner, best friend, all of that. So,
Even as you said, the part about finances, that's a very big part. That's why in the beginning I said there's two different types of bridezillas, because there's one that can afford it. So they're acting like that because they feel they are entitled to it because they have the funds for it. And then there's the other one who doesn't have the funds for it, but still feels entitled. So that's.
I don't agree 100% because if you can afford something, it's not that hard to get it done. But if you are trying to get it done without sufficient budget or, it's out of the professional scope of work and, they don't have a system in place to support that item or that request, the only person that really suffers is the vendor because you have to now figure out how to achieve this with your resources. Meanwhile, the client is there and they haven't invested. I don't feel like it's wrong for a client to, if they have the budget and they want something, that's their choice. But I only feel like it's entitled when it's basically not something that they're paying for. You know what I mean? I mean, there's not really a way to not go out of your way for wedding. Your couples and you want to because it's a personal service. It's their one wedding day. It's the happiest day of their life, or it should be. And we have a lot of pressure on us as vendors to make sure that the day goes well. And that can be so much to bear, at any given moment. I'm not gonna lie, I had a couple moments where things got very overwhelming for me, and I had to just take a step back and rely on my team to get me through the event. And some people would even shame you for that. And it's like, do you expect me to set up 200 chairs and, stay here for 14 hours by myself and get everything done? It's
Shout
not
out to
possible.
yes, we shout out to teams. Everyone that helps make this possible, because they're awesome. Definitely
Exactly.
do it by yourself, like you say.
Exactly. So, the last question I want to ask you is about maintaining professionalism. So, in a challenging situation, can you share some tips for best practices for staying calm and diplomatic when dealing with difficult clients? Because for me, that's something I personally have to work on each and every day. I have a hot temper sometimes, and when things don't go my way, I have to take 10 seconds to breathe and calm down, center myself before, things go left. So what do you do to make sure that there's a positive overall experience for the client and for your team as well.
Well, fun fact that I didn't get to mention earlier, I'm actually a marriage counselor. Maybe that is partly why I'm good in this area, because I have to basically counsel couples to manage their emotions, at least part of it. For some reason, I would say I kind of have the strength that when a client is yelling at me, I'm able to stay very, very calm. Many persons ask me, like, how do I get that due? Why didn't I just tell off the person? But I believe that even though it's very difficult, I'll start by saying that it can be difficult, but I don't let other persons' characters, opinions, or actions influence my character and who I am. So I always try to respond with kindness. However, kindness does not mean weakness. So you can respond very kindly. You can still have all of your character and composure intact and still be firm. And that's something I had to learn, and I think others have to learn. Anyone who's struggling with it should know that being firm doesn't mean that you're rude. It doesn't mean you're disrespectful. It doesn't mean you're wrong. And you always say this, boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. So for me, keep your composure, tell the truth, be firm. If something is wrong, state that it's wrong. Stating that something is wrong doesn't mean you have to cuss out the client, doesn't mean you have to yell and come up to their level, and be negative. You can be just as pleasant and still be honest. So for me, it's just honesty, being firm, and being calm. That's my secrets to it. And I think it's really hard to argue with someone who's literally like bubbly and bringing out joy. Like I said, that's why I mentioned the marriage counseling, because something I do with my husband is if he's yelling and he's up there, but I'm literally like, oh, babes, like I'm just talking so sweetly. One is going to annoy him more, which I kind of like because it brings me joy because I don't have to shout back. I probably shouldn't have said that, but it's the truth. But if someone is literally yelling at you and you're literally like your energy is low, one is going to frustrate them because they're yelling at you because they want a reaction from you. That's one. And then usually they're going to stop and realize they're being unreasonable. They're being, like a bit dramatic because how am I yelling up here and this person is talking so calm and sweetly? So I always just do the opposite of what the person is doing. And I tell my couples that as well. So if a client is yelling at you, if they're being demanding, unrealistic, they're being rude, and you're responding firmly, but you're doing it in a sweet way, it's going to literally confuse them because no matter how the situation ends, all they can say is that you ha they can't say anything negative about you. They could just say you handled yourself very well. They could be mad or all they want, but they have nothing to hold to you. So, yeah.
So your advice is to confuse the
Yes,
Oh my
exactly.
goodness. Now that was such an insightful and interesting conversation. And I guess you guys can completely see why I asked Elle to come on here today because she is so intelligent and well-spoken. I really love having conversations with her. We've recently met and we've done them a couple times, some marathons where we had, discussions about current events in Barbados where we both work in weddings. And I just wanted to share all about how dealing with difficult clients is from a realistic, down-to-earth perspective, from someone who actually does real weddings and deals with these situations, different situations. And, I'm really proud of you, Al. You did a great job.
One more thing I want to say. I just remembered something. Even in talking with difficult clients, I now remember that there's a difference between a difficult client and a client that's having a bad day. And knowing the difference can really help build good wedding planner and client relationships. Because sometimes if you misjudge it and you think that this client is just being difficult, you can put up a wall. But when I realized that, wow, this client is actually just having a bad day, maybe they're having an anxiety attack, maybe they're overwhelmed in the whole process and they just need whether it be words of encouragement or they just need someone to like help bring them back down. And I find that when once you do that,
that can actually cause the process to move back really smoothly. And what you thought was a difficult client was just a client that was having a bad day.
Yes, for sure. But I feel like it's pretty easy to identify the difference because, yes, there are some people that appear to be one way and then they change late in the game. But someone having a one-off bad day is very different from someone that is like micromanaging you throughout the entire process, you know? So you're completely right about that because at the end of the day, we all deserve grace. The same way that you expect your clients to give you grace and, you know, treat you like a human being with respect, you should also respect the fact that they are humans and this is a very emotional time. Like so many brides are struggling with their mental health coming up for wedding planning because, you know, they're being pulled with in different directions from their family, from their job. They still have to manage their house and the weddings are expensive, so there's that element of it. Like, you know, oh my God, I'm spending this. This is the biggest expense a lot of people face together, besides buying a house, you know, as a couple. And it's like at the very beginning of your marriage. So it is a lot of pressure. So, of course, we should understand and be very empathetic towards brides who have, you know, a momentary lapse in their typical behavior. But that's just a one-off thing or, you know, not someone who is consistently difficult, for sure not.
Definitely.
This was an extremely interesting discussion, Al, and I hope that we can have you on again to have another chat about another topic. But this was really insightful, and I do hope that our listeners are able to use this information. And don't be afraid to check out Al on Instagram at Design and Decor by Al.
Yes, designs and decor by L.
Yes, please. All right, thank you so much, Al.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode of the Wedpreneur Podcast. I'm so incredibly grateful to all of my listeners and would like to take a moment to invite you to keep the conversation going. Head on over to our free online community at www.thewedpreneur.com/join. If you enjoyed this episode, help us to spread the word by leaving an honest review and sharing with others you think would also enjoy this. I appreciate each and every one of you and welcome your feedback. Bye for now.